This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. You probably know someone on medication for some kind of mental illness, mild or serious. Every year, you probably know even more people. That's because there's an explosion of debilitating mental illness in America, and our guest today says there's one reason why: the drugs themselves. The anatomy of a mental illness epidemic, that's our talker this hour. But first, the long list of clergy accused of sexual abuse got a little longer today. In March of 2009, Cardinal Sean O'Malley indicated he was ready to release a complete list of all Boston Archdiocese personnel implicated in abuse cases. Well, it's almost 2 years later, and one Boston attorney says he got tired of waiting. Mitchell Garabedian, a Boston lawyer who has represented hundreds of sex abuse victims, released a list of 117 names today, names of church personnel accused by the victims he represents. Most of the names have been public for a while, but 19 are new. And here with more is WBUR's Deborah Becker. Hi, Deb.
Hello there, Meghna.
So Mitchell Garabedian, as we said, has represented hundreds of abuse victims and settled many hundreds of cases. But who are these new 19 names?
Well, Attorney Garabedian says these 19 people are those with whom he has either obtained a settlement or an arbitration award in his work representing victims. He says 18 of those on the list worked for the Archdiocese of Boston, one worked in Fall River, and Garabedian today repeatedly called on Cardinal Sean O'Malley in Boston to be more transparent.
18 individuals named as pedophiles on my website have never been named before openly by Archbishop O'Malley, even though he promised or he stated a few years ago that he would come forward with names of pedophiles within his ranks. You have purportedly the most moral institution in the world, acting the most immorally.
Now, Meghna, in 2009, Cardinal O'Malley did say that he would release a list of all credibly accused priests, but he has not done so as of yet.
Well, we'll get to a reaction from the Archdiocese from today's announcement in a minute, Deb, but were the religious workers in this list proven guilty, or how did Mitchell Garabedian go about compiling the names?
Well, he does say that these names were those involved in settlements or arbitration awards, and he says all the cases involved a substantial amount of money. He says he's confident that they're all guilty, but they did not go to trial. And Garabedian says he is releasing the names now to improve transparency, to call on the Archdiocese to be more transparent, and he says he does not have any other motive aside from that.
So where are these 19 people now?
Well, 14 of the 19 are deceased. The whereabouts of some are not known, but Attorney Garabedian did say today that one of the men on the list, Father Donald Joyce, now works in Texas.
We've taken the first step. We've released their names so the individuals might know who they're living next to. But where are these pedophiles now? For instance, Father Joyce is in a seminary in Texas, Oblate Seminary, running the library. He was named in Boston as a pedophile priest.
And Meghna, Attorney Garabedian says part of the reason why he's asking the Archdiocese to come forward now is to find out what happened to these accused workers of the church.
So when you say workers, it's not just priests then?
No, not just priests. Some of the accused are religious brothers and people who worked for the church, not just priests. Hmm.
So who stood alongside Attorney Garabedian today?
Well, among the folks, there were two alleged abuse victims. One of them is William Oberly, whom Garabedian represented in his case against Father Paul Mahan of St. Anne's Church in Dorchester.
I'm 53 years old, and I was molested at the age of 12 in 1969 at St. Anne's Church in Neponset, Dorchester. Paul J. Mahan was the abuser, and it wasn't only me. It was my 10-year-old brother and my 7-year-old brother.
And also at the press conference today, Meghna, were two representatives of the group bishopaccountability.org. That group puts together a website with the names of priests who have been accused of abuse, and it tries to track their whereabouts down. Almost since the clergy abuse scandal broke here in Boston in 2002, Bishop Accountability has been calling on the Archdiocese of Boston to release the names of all accused priests and let people know where they are. That, of course, as we said, has not been done. Also today, Father Robert Hotzen, who has worked on behalf of abuse victims around around the country and now works in New Jersey, attended today's news conference. Mm.
So, Deb, then what does the Archdiocese itself have to say?
Well, the Archdiocese released a statement today, did not go on tape, but did release a statement saying that it is working on disclosing more about credibly accused clergy, and that's an ongoing process. The statement is similar to others that we've heard from the Archdiocese in the past. Essentially, it says there are a lot of complexities to these legal cases, and the release of more names raises concerns about the due process rights for the accused.
WBUR's Deborah Becker, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So yesterday's talker on Radio Boston was all about the phenomenon of the so-called nature deficit disorder, and I have to say the phone lines rang off the hook. That conversation also generated a lot of comments, tweets, and emails, and Radio Boston's Dan Mozzie joins me now to tell us about some of those. Hi there, Dan.
Hey, Magna. Right, so nature deficit disorder is not something you're likely to see come up in the DSM-5. But it comes from this concern that kids today just aren't spending enough time outdoors.
Okay, Radio Boston pun alert, but I can't help myself. Not enough vitamin D, too much vitamin we.
Right. So in reporting on this, our own Adam Ragusea went out to Belmont, where a woman named Fran Hutchinson runs a purposefully unstructured program on 90 acres of Mass Audubon land. For about $15 a class, children run around, jump on rocks, get dirty, and pretty much do what kids do.
So what are we doing here today?
Well, this is Coyote Club, so we don't really know what we're doing. We have 16 children coming, and there isn't really any curriculum, so we'll see what happens with them.
Rob Eno of the Red Mass Group blog had this to say on our Facebook page. You've got to be kidding me. There are actually classes that teach kids how to play outside? What has this world come to?
Well, part of the appeal for parents is that while it's unstructured play, it's still supervised, so children can be kept safe from all the dangers that worry modern parents. But Elizabeth from Kingston, Rhode Island, wrote in with this comment. She wrote, "While we all think that life is more dangerous now because we can go online and see where the sex offenders are, and we worry about concussions and lawsuits much more than we used to, so much of that sense is because we have access to too much information. The crime statistics in general do not substantiate our fears." Elizabeth goes on to write, "So now our kids are growing up fat, lazy, and unable to entertain themselves. It's way beyond time that we get kids outdoors again, let them discover the world around them. Maybe they will learn to care about our planet and their own futures."
So, speaking of caring, earlier this week we took a look at the healthcare profession, and specifically the role of nurses in patient care and their place in the hospital staff.
And at one point in that conversation, we took up the long-established hierarchies in medical staff, and particularly the relationship between nurses and doctors. Our guest, Suzanne Gordon, likened doctors to sea captains.
The issue is, does the captain of the ship, you know, take into consideration the concerns and insights and information that the nurse has who's been with the patient 24/7 or who also has insights and concern, or is that just blown off? And right now, and it's changing, but right now it hasn't changed enough.
This really struck a chord with some nurses in our audience, and several wrote in to share their thoughts. Tracy, who says she's been a nurse for more than 30 years, said, "The same tired arguments have been going around since Florence Nightingale. Physicians and hospital administrators have all the power and always will, especially when they're male, because they control the money. They see nursing as something monkeys can do, and nurses as completely interchangeable and replaceable. As long as nursing practice is under the thumb of medicine, nothing will change. It needs to be seen as and billed as a completely separate science and practice."
Edward Onesimo of Milton wrote in with his patient perspective. He said, "I spent a sizable portion of a six-month period at Beth Israel being treated for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I love my doctors, but the nurses do everything, including dispensing all the meds. During morning rounds, when six or more doctors, residents, and interns would parade through the room, I became fond of saying, 'Plenty of doctors in the room, but not a lot of doctoring. One nurse in the room, though, and plenty of nursing.'" Edward says he's fine, by the way.
Well, I'm glad to hear, Ed, that you're doing well. And we did hear from a lot of nurses about that segment, but we're also still interested in hearing what doctors who listen to Radio Boston have to say. So send us a comment at our website, radioboston.wbur.org.
All right, one more quick thing. So yesterday we spoke to some Boston musicians who are trying to bring attention to a little-known composer, Janz Dismas-Zelenka.
The way that Zelenka writes for the oboe, it's really, really intense, very
tightly interwoven melodies that layer over each other very differently than let's say, Bach's melodies does.
T. Crockett wrote on our website, "Thanks for this wonderful introduction to an unfamiliar composer. I'm off to look for Zelenka on CD."
All right, well, T. Crockett, if you manage to find a CD store still in business, head to the Z's.
All right, CD store owners, if you're out there, you can send your complaint letters directly to Dan Mauzy. That's M-A-U-Z-Y. But everybody else, keep those comments, tweets, and letters coming.
You can find all the ways to contact us on our webpage, radioboston.wbur.org.
Dan Mauzy, thanks so much.
Thank you, Magna. Oh, yeah.
Well, coming up in today's Talker, we hear from an author who says psychiatric drugs are doing more harm than good. Do you have any experience with drugs to treat depression or, say, ADHD? Did they help you, or do you think they harmed you? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or comment online at radioboston.wbur.org. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.